day. Beautiful part of the year. So glad to see you out this morning. Danny, come and get us started, and we'll continue on here in a minute.
And so glad that you can make it in. And we had a pretty good crowd this morning for first service, and we thank the Lord for that. And I'm just so thankful to see you here. So we'll go ahead and get right into this and talk about some of the things that are upcoming this week. Today, the Ridge Point teens are going to have a drop-in at the Herdman's home after the PM service. I don't know, some of you may have a teen, but most of us have not got a teen. But that's for info. And then this coming Thursday, August 31st, the ladies' Bible study have a 10 a.m. service and a 7 p.m. service in the chapel. So if you ladies are coming out to that, just put that on your calendar so you don't miss it. Saturday, on September the 2nd, we'll have the outreach breakfast and visitation at 9:30 a.m. in the Family Life Center. So they always have a good breakfast over there and then send you out to visit folks and help knock on doors and invite people into church. Then next Sunday, September the 3rd, we're going to have a couple of the missionaries coming in. That's the head of the missions revival that we'll be having the following week there, September the 7th through the entire week. So there's a number of names in here. Y'all can look at that and see who's going to be here. And I understand that Scott Caudill is going to be the preacher for the most of this service. So anyway, look at that and see what else the bulletin has in it. And then we'll get right over to our prayer list. Talk with Judy Martin this morning and her sister is still waiting to see the doctor. And so y'all remember her in prayer, Violet Barlow. And of course we have those that we pray for each week, Bob Daniels with cancer, Judy Whitson with cancer. Miss Frances Lawson this week saw her heart doctor and she is having some congestive heart failure now. So let's remember her. And then Palma Hodges' brother, Marshall Tate, is still trying to get that biopsy that he needs. And then Francis Lawson's brother, John Hulse, is having some serious issues with his heart. So remember him. Wanda Hushkins, we still miss her and Ron. Teresa Payne's mom, Teresa, was called yesterday. She was working the booth over at the fair, and her mother, they had to take her to the emergency room. She was having chest pain and issues there, so Teresa had to leave and go to North Carolina to see about her mom. So let's remember her and the problems that she's having. Randy and Pat Scalf still having a lot of issues. And Pat Shaw, Brother Joe said that Pat was about the same. And we're still remembering Brother Carl Bond. He's got a surgery coming up here, and he says he's a little nervous, but I told him not to be nervous. The Lord's going to take care of him. And he's not going to have to worry about this once he gets that surgery. And then Miss Kim Brummett is due for some surgery here on the 13th. And we're praying for her and praying that God will give her this pain issue she's dealing with to help her till she can get that surgery. So remember her. And then we pray this morning for our teacher, Brother Steve. He's been doing a wonderful job on the names of Jesus. of God, and he's been very, very informative to us on those things. So let's pray for him this morning. Also pray for our pastor at 11 o'clock. He's had a busy, busy week, and he's got busy, busy weeks coming up. So we need to pray for him, pray for God's blessing on him. So any other prayer requests this morning, uplifted? Okay, Brother Harold's nephew there found unresponsive this morning. Christopher Campbell. Okay, let's remember that family this morning. Okay, anyone else? Okay, let's go to the Lord. Father, we come to you this morning, God, and it, Lord, it grieves our heart to know that they found this man unresponsive this morning, God. Lord, we know that his family is grieving. We know, Lord, that there's a lot of sorrow there. Lord, we pray that you would be with them. Lord, you give them grace and you give them help in this time of need. And Father, your grace is sufficient. And you said that you would see us through these things, Lord. And God, I pray you'll be with them now. Give them comfort. And Father, we do pray for these other requests that we've mentioned. Lord, the surgeries that's upcoming, folks that are dealing with pain, folks that are dealing with cancer. Dear God, we pray for them. We pray, Lord, that you'll just touch each and every one. I know there's a lot of people that would like to be here this morning if they could, Lord, but due to these health issues, they can't be. And Father, we ask that you be with them. Lord, show your love. Be close to them, God. Give them comfort, Lord, that no one else can give. Father, thank you again for the blessings this week. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the opportunity to share your gospel with others. And then, Lord, we do pray for our teacher, Brother Steve, and we pray that you'll give him special direction from heaven this morning on how you want him to teach. Lord, we pray that you'll open each heart, and God, that we will hear what you want us to hear, Lord. God, we pray for our pastor at the 11 o'clock service. Father, there may be someone that comes in this morning, Lord, that don't know you. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would deal with their hearts. God, they might get saved today. Bless the services this day, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Danny. In the last few weeks or so, we've been talking about God's names, and the last time I talked about God the Father, the Father being like our Father, Abba, and the family, Father, structure in the home, and the failure of our homes because of lack of God's presence, lack of having Father in control of things in a home, sometimes we see the failure of single-parent homes in the world as we have today. So I'm going to shift this thing to, we talked about the families without God, and I wanted to look one more time at not only just the families, but I want to back way out with our vision from our focus on the family. So let's back completely out and look at the world and the problems that we have today. Now, I know I've been teaching on things that here in the last week or so that are not comfortable in the way that it's without God in the middle of our lives, without God in the middle of our family's life, And now I want to look at without God in the middle of our leadership in this world that we have today and where society in a whole is going. And it's kind of negative. And in this lesson, really, I can't get through it all. There's three parts to this lesson that I want to do over the next 3 weeks. And then while I'm doing this lesson, I'm looking forward into the holiday seasons and take us into Christmas with some kind of series, either on a book, study, or whatever. But today I want to look at and start this three-part lesson, what's going on in our world today. A lot of people ask that question. We see that question again this week dealing with the federal government and the energy business. It's very difficult to get anything done. The political atmosphere is completely off the hinge. The green agenda, the liberal agenda, they have an ear for that in our current political situation. And they take what these people believe to be right and use that to say, well, that's the way it's going to be. We're going to make society go that way. We're going to make the energy group of this great nation that we have go that way. Based on just what a small group has said. Now, that's just in the energy. That's just in that part. I deal with that all the time, dealing with federal government and state governments. It's unhinged. I can't even begin to tell you what a mess it is. Now let's back that away from our local government and let's just look at the whole world here. To start with, let's go to Psalms chapter 2, and that tells us some things in this psalm, Psalms chapter 2. And it's quoted in the Old Testament in Acts 4:25. And in Acts 4:25 it says, let me get my glasses on, excuse me. Whom by the mouth of thy servant David, this is in Acts 4:25. You don't have to turn there, we're going to look at Psalms. And it says, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Two questions there that David's saying, that they said David was saying here in Acts. Well, the good men differ on who wrote this. David, most likely, I favor David writing it because he was dealing with the nation. He was dealing with people. He was dealing with his personal life. We know the situation that David was in. And David, because of his sin, woke up and realized, look, what a mess my life's in. What a mess my nation's in. What a mess my family's in. And I believe he wrote this down and he says, why do the heathens rage? Another question here. And the people imagine vain things. Two questions. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointing, saying, let us break the bands asunder and cast away the cords from us. Isn't that the world today? Isn't that people today? Saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. Don't be tying me down to some kind of do's and don'ts. I mean, it's been that way since the Christ hung on the cross. That society, that Jewish society, the Pharisees and Sadducees and the political heads of that country at the time and the people said, we're not going to believe who that is. I don't want anything to do with these rules. We're going to do what we think is right. No matter what Christ said, what the Old Testament was pointing to, they decided in their own minds and in their own hearts, without God influence on their life, that what we say is the right, and that's what we're going to say the society has to do. Now, that's when Christ hung on the cross. Of course, we know later on, the disciples started the New Testament church, and we see the persecution of Israel and the New Testament church because of the New Testament church was preaching and teaching freedom under Christ, freedom from the sin of adultery and having to do certain things and be certain way, eat certain things, and all that they did back then as work salvation. And you had a small group, Sadducees, Pharisees, politicians at that time, telling everybody in that part of the world, this is the way it's got to be, not what that church says. Is it the same thing today? It could easily be said that it is. If we look at God's Word based on what God's Word says and where society is going. So the first part of this, I want to take a look at, I'm going to call this first part, a view of earth. God's answer to what is going on in the world today, based on what happened in the past, and it was going on then, sin is sin. Mankind's sin is sin. There's no little bitty one, there's no white lies, there's no partial sin. It's either you're right or you're wrong. See, we've gotten this gray area in the world today. People want to get in this gray area. Well, we're okay. You're okay. Just let me do what I want to do. Well, now that, I'm going to say 20 years ago that was going on. And now today, these people that says, well, I'm okay, you're not okay, you're going to do it my way. It's starting to change, and that's nothing but pointing toward end times when Christ is going to come back. We have people with their agenda today. People need great help in understanding what's going on in the world today. They need to bounce this society and this condition that we're in off of God's Word. And people don't want to read it. They don't want to believe it because they're selfish. They, as verse says, let us break their bands asunder and cast away the cords from us. They see God's Word as controlling cords. It's a bunch of don'ts. And they say, I'm not going to listen to it. There's a lot of positive do's in here. The don'ts are to save you from going down paths that you don't need to go down. But they don't want to see that. They don't want to hear it. There's a society today that don't want to hear that. There's leaders in the world that don't want to hear that. So you look at the view from earth and what's going on here. We're going to have a view from earth this week. We're going to have a view from heaven next week. And I may get to the voice from heaven. We've got three things going on here in this psalm. That's chapter 2 all the way down through verse 12. Why do the heathen rage again? And the people imagine vain things. The question is why are all the international, let's just back this way out and look at the world. Why all the international conflict and individual confusion? Do you see the confusion in the world today? Why do the heathen rage? Why are these nations living in turmoil and confusion? The word heathen in this translation is nations, nationalities, nations. And the rage would be better translated as confusion and turmoil and confusion and stuff turning all the time. Rage is one of the main characteristics of a society that we live in. We've talked about that before. You can't even drive down the highway now or to go to town and you have somebody raging, blowing their horn and throwing their hand up at you and shaking their heads and running their mouth. And I mean, it's hard not to go out a week and not have that happen. At least it does to me. Maybe I'm a bad driver anymore. So we got rage. People are raging. The society is characterized by international conflict, the atmosphere around these violence and distress, and we see it's been this war after this war, you know, Middle East and Afghanistan and now the Ukraine and all that. Can you see how all that's stacking up there when it talks in the Bible in stuff that we've talked about before in the conflict and how the great bear is going to come down on the nation of Israel and they try to wipe them out eventually? Have you noticed how quiet things are around the nation of Israel? You know, you get a blip every once in a while, but everybody's focused on that war to the north of Israel in the Ukraine. And then you see all these people meet and they go meetings and this meeting and that meeting and all this stuff going on and there's no solution. And we see our current government throwing billions of dollars that way. Oh yeah, and you can get into all this conspiracy theories, where's all the money going? Well, it makes sense. I mean, you just start trying to make some sense out of that amount of money being given. Where is it going? The rich get richer. They get rich off of wars. Jesus described these days in Luke 21. And it says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon, and in the stars, upon the earth, distresses of nations, with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring, men hearts failing them of fear of looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory." Folks, we're on the edge of this stuff. We're in the middle of some of this stuff. And there's no solutions to some of this stuff. Armies being called out, troops being called out, marching and this and that. And you see all this stuff happening on the TV, and it's just like there's no solution. They're not getting anywhere. And on and on and on. Our government leaders that have no God in their life have no reasonable solution to this? Or do they even want a solution to it? Does this fit into God's plan? See, we get, and I have conversations with people all the time that get in an uproar. Why don't they do something? Why don't they change this or change that? What is these people thinking? Why? Well, they don't have God in their life. They don't bounce anything off of God. I mean, ungodly people in control in high places. And that's just the way Satan's going to do it. Kings and rulers, diplomats, they conference together. One crisis right after another, and no solutions. Why do the people imagine vain things? What are these people imagining? Characterize our society characteristics as individual confusion. The phrase "main things" is better translated as vanity, emptiness, filthiness. That's how it's kind of translated if you take it and look at it as a word in the Bible. Emptiness. Imagine, and the word imagine means filling one's heart with philosophical ideas which are basically empty. And I have to look at what I know. I mean, I know the energy business. And some of these things that they're doing is so empty, has no meaning, but they're stopping the energy business in this country with these vain things, meaningless things. And people take those meaningless things and apply them to an industry, fossil fuel industry, gas, oil, coal. And there's no understanding of all that. How can you say, how can that small group of a few people control everything? Because you have a government that takes that and applies it across the board. Not only in that, the answer, man has rejected God, and he's ignorant of God's, what God's trying to do. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. The ignorance of leadership in this world, the golden rule is today, as it has been for a long time, the man that has the rule, the gold, makes the rule. How is that? I mean, how is that possible? God said it back in the Old Testament. That's what's going on. There's nothing confusion. It's just, for me, man's answer is his own confusion. Is he's trying to be self-controlled, self-sufficient, feels he can solve any problems anywhere. We've got educated people that are doing studies on stuff that is going to shape our society in the future, and I think a lot of it will happen after the rapture. This stuff is crazy if you start reading up on some of these things that these people are thinking, especially about our money. And talking about all this digital currency, where it's going to go. Folks, it's coming at us. And it's because of the people that control the situations, these rulers take counsel and pool their resources. There's no doubt about that. I know for a fact that we've looked at some of these things that's happened in protest and financing these protests, and you look where that money came from, and it came from a bank up in the Northeast, and it went through another bank, and it went through another bank in Switzerland, and it ends up back in the Middle East. It's crazy what's going on. It's not pretend, it's real. The world without God's influence, as we've had in our lives, Pam and I were talking about it this morning. When did the internet come into existence? Pam barely remembers it in the 80s, and I remember it a little earlier than that when I first got involved in it. I mean, how many of us remember operators on a telephone? You pick up the phone and say, number please. Yeah. I mean, some of us here, I remember that. I can barely remember that. And then you had dial phones. And then you got push button phones. You thought, wow, you know. And you had a push button phone hanging on the wall in your kitchen. Remember the old green or gold ones? And a cord about stretch halfway back through there, and it'd get tangled up, and you'd walk around the house with a cord. Then the first cell phones, we had radios in our company cars, FMs, and then we got a bag phone. Oh my. We thought that was it, man. Big old bag. And then you got them mounted in your car. And the next thing you know, you have some kind of little flip phone. And now you're walking around with a computer in your hand, where it's went so fast. Things have changed, hadn't it? Will it ever go back? No. What's my grandchildren going to know? What's yours going to know? What's our kids? I'm just looking at my kids. I mean, they were born into the computer age, just getting going and starting. They've had computers and laptops all their life. I just got that started I started in the mid-80s. But anyway, society has changed, the world has changed around us, and it'll never go back. They take counsel together, and their poor solutions to any of these things and any of these problems in society. You know, the nations will not acknowledge God in their only source of help. They won't go to God. They're independent of God. And all this is overwhelming them, and they keep saying, well, let's try this, and let's do this, and let's do that. I mean, and on and on. And then this, their agnosticism against the Lord, against His anointed one. They don't want to have anything to do with salvation. They don't want anything to do with Christ. They don't want those bands put on them. They feel people... It goes back down to basic witnessing. When you talk to somebody about getting saved, they say, well, not right now. They feel like they'll lose something if they give in to Christ. Well, the things that you lose, you don't need in your life anyway. People need the Lord. The world needs the Lord. The very concept of self-sufficient and self-existence, and you've got these people prepping and these preppers and all that, you can buy food and this and that and water and on and on. I mean, it's all back to this, I'm going to survive this somehow, do it on my own. The society in a whole, the individual confusion, the governmental confusion, you know, you can look right back at the Bible, look at the New Testament, go right back to the day Christ hung on the cross. They wanted to kill Him, and later on they didn't want them to kill Christ, but they wanted to persecute anybody that believed in Him. Is that prevalent today in our world? You tell somebody that you believe Jesus in some working situation and they make fun of you? Our kids have to face that kind of stuff away from this church in society. Nobody wants anything to do with God. They don't want to be tied down. Against the Lord. There in verse 22, we got a society that feels like basically they can eat, drink, and be merry. Without any feeling that they're at fault anyway, without God in their life. This being self-existent justifies in their minds that they don't need God. And we've got a whole society and a whole world that's going that way. If a man has no concept of being reliant on God and is self-sufficient, and he easily decides and turns away from this eternal salvation that Christ offers. This thinking that this society has today, these people, these persons, our loved ones, our friends and friends of our children, and it is so important that you and I stay very alert to who our children and our families are friends with. I mean, we have to be friends in the world. We can't put our heads in the sand. And I think it's good that we walk in the world with the Lord on our side and in our heart. We can't isolate ourselves from it. We have to stand up for what Christ means. That doesn't mean we have to be ugly about it. If a man denies the existence of the Messiah, we have to say, well, I believe God's Word has something to say about that. And take him to God's Word. It's not what I say. It's not what the church says. It's what God's Word says. We can't say that's what we think or what we know. We have to say what God's Word says. Take them to the Bible. I think a lot of people, you put them in the Bible, they take it that it is God's Word, and it may change their hearts and minds. The attraction of this liberty, let us break the bands asunder, the verse says. Well, look where societies went with that. With the gay community. And just think back 20 years ago about that right there. And all that started coming to the front. I'm just talking about that. Talking about, well, some people are gay. Well, now where are we at? We've got these letters that mean all this stuff. And now look where societies went. People feel like that they can change the sex of their children. You see the downfall of that thinking? I mean, you just look where that's went. I mean, it just goes on and on. But people says, I want liberty. I want to do what I want to do. I want to be free in these areas of life. Particularly in raising my children. Don't tell me what to do with my children. Even though we can look at that and say, oh my goodness, how messed up that is. I can't imagine. It's almost beyond any of us thinking in that direction. Of taking some little child and saying, yeah, we're going to change their sex. Just to meet something that somebody else believes. I have a society out here that maybe 10% of the population that they believe that that's the right thing to do. So I'm going to do it. No thinking of what God says. No thinking of what's right. And we see some of those children today have come of age, and you see the suicide rate and everything. What a mess schools are in and families are in. Oh, it's just raging without God. I know I'm painting a bad picture today, but that's the world we're in. And here we are looking at some verses that tells us it was going to happen and it was going on then. It's going on now. If we don't get people saved, if we don't change parents' attitudes about their relationship with their children, with their husband, this false understanding and human nature that's going on right now and people believing that this is what I'm going to do and you can't tell me nothing else. They're getting stiff-necked about it. You know, a lot of those folks you talk to, they're really ugly. You try to witness to them and they get ugly really quick. And we need to be just as kind as we can be. Say, God loves you. Here's what God's word says. And they may get ugly. And we just need to say, I understand, but God loves you and Jesus died for you. What else can we say? So that's a look at the world. Now, next week I'm going to see a view from heaven, how God, what's going on in heaven today with all this. We're going to look a little bit on that and try to end this up positive. I guess I painted an awful ugly picture today, but is that the world we live in? Is that the families that we see out there that's going sideways? Is that the politics of the world we see today? It is, sad to say, it's the truth. So it's no more the truth to know that the world in its whole is heading toward the coming of Christ. And how much more important it is for us to stay on top of it with our families and our children and others that we meet. It's so important that we hold Christ up in every aspect of our life and every decision that we make and every decision that our families make. So anyway, we'll look next week and see as heaven looks down all this, what God's going to say and what he's got to say about it. Okay, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your love, and we know that you're there on the throne. Christ is standing there ready to take that scroll and open it up and come back and rapture this church and start the great tribulation period. We're so close, God, and I know that. I really feel it, and I think we all do. And we all ask questions, why? It's easy for us. Why did they do that? Why did they do that? Basically, it's called sin, God, that's on this world. Lord, we thank you for your salvation. And thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you for salvation for my family. Lord, you've been so good. You've been good to this church. Lord, I pray today that you touch hearts and change lives as our pastor brings the word. Lord, give us a good day in church. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.